You said cool down it? What down?
We're up to Yud Gimel.
Okay.
We're up to Yud Gimel. And we started the Sugya of Shtaros. Let's just quickly review what we know. According to Rabbi Meir, if you find a shtar, the Malv is claiming that he wants the shtar back, we may be allowed to give him the shtar, but it all depends. If it's Yesh Bachrayis, which means that the shtar is collectible from the lekuchos, then we will not return the shtar. If it's Ein Bachrayis, then we will return the shtar. The Chacham say that even if Ein Bachrayis, it has a chrayis automatically. So we'll get to that later. But now we're focused on Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara, if you recall, had a problem. Because what is the Lova saying? If the Lova denies the chiyuv, meaning let's say he says parati, I already paid and I dropped the shtar, then we don't have any right to give the shtar back to the malva, even in the case of Ein Bachrayis, so it shouldn't make any difference. But if, on the other hand, the Lova is admitting that he owes the chov, so why shouldn't we give the shtar back to the malva? So the Gemara explains that what Meir Mishnah is concerned about is the Asi Ligvuye Milakucho Shalokidin. We're afraid that maybe the shtar was written in Nisan, but the actual halva didn't take place till Tishrei. So the date on the shtar predates the actual matan mos by 6 months. The malva now is going to use the shtar to collect from the lekuchos, if we give him back the shtar, during that period of time of 6 months. And in fact, the lekuchos are not responsible. When they bought the karka from the malva, there was no shibud because the halva hadn't taken place.
From the lova.
I meant to say from the lova. Yeah, I'm sorry.
General rule, the shtar mukdam is possible. I mean, the fact that it predates the event because you now have a chance to reach in and take...
That's our sugya. Our sugya is dealing with the issue, should a shtar mukdam be possible? And the argument of Rav Meir is we have to passel the shtar. We can't give the shtar back because the early date on the shtar that predates the halva by so many months is going to afford the malva with a powerful tool, a force that he can now collect from lekuchos from that early date when there was no shibud at all because the matan mos had not taken place. So that was the initial proposition of the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. But now the Gemara asks the following question. Is there a way that the shtar itself could perhaps be valid even if the halva has not yet taken place? How so? The Mishnah says at the end of Baba Basra, Kosvin shtar lova afal pishain malva imo. So it seems that the date of the shtar is recorded as the date in which the lova told the Eidim to write the shtar. The Eidim don't know about the matan mos. Maybe the matan mos took place, maybe it didn't take place. And if that be the case, so the Gemara says, Kosvin shtar lelov afal pishein malva imo, you're going to be collecting from the lekucho shelo kedin, because the shtar has the power of shibudim, and the Eidim themselves who are signed on the shtar, they don't even know exactly when the matan mos are. So the Gemara comes to the following conclusion, that in order to activate the shtar, we need another shtar, so to speak. Now, again, when I say another shtar, you don't have to take me literally, because it could be, and that's the Rosh Hashita, that we write this in the shtar itself, and that's called shibdei nafshe. What does it mean, shibdei nafshe? That means that the lova himself, when he told the Eidim to write the shtar, he was meshabing himself. In other words, he gave all his karka. When I say gave, I mean he was meshabed, he leaned his karka to the malva from the date that's written on the shtar. And that's included in the principle of Kosvin Shtar Lelov. What do you mean Kosvin Shtar Lelov? The Malva is not even here. But the answer is, the Lelov was Meshabin himself, even in the absence of the Malva, through what's called a Shtar Kinyan. Now, normally a Shtar Milva is a Shtar Raya. You know, it's a proof in the hands of the Malva that the Lelov owes him money. But there's another dimension now to a Shtar, and that's a Shtar Kinyan. The only thing is, the Gemara seems to assume that you have to upgrade the shtar from that of a shtar milva to a shtar kinyan. It's a shtar raya unless you make it into a shtar kinyan. How do you make it into a shtar kinyan? So here's a gigantic machlokus rishonim. One school of thought says you have to write the kinyan, the shibud, in the shtar, and unless that shibud is written in the shtar, then there is no effective kinyan. But the Mishnah itself, at the end of Baba Basra, Kosen Shtar la Lova, is talking about a case where the Lova specifically mandated the Eidim to write the Shibud in the Shtar. And now the Shtar becomes a Shtar Kinyan. Again, we had a big problem yesterday, and I don't have a solution yet to this problem. How does that Shtar Kinyan effectuate a Kinyan in the absence of the Malva? He's not around. So is it Zochin the Olam Shlo B'Funav? What exactly is the... here's the methodology. But let's accept it as a given that the Gemara says that there's something called Shtari Hakna. If you're on Daf Gimel, Yud Gimel, Amid Aleph, you'll see those are the first two words on the Daf. Right? It says Shtari Hakna. So the Shtar was done in a way that it was Kone Shibudim on behalf of the Malva, even though Dalva didn't take place. Now, what that really means is that the Lova, in effect, gave the Malva Kinyonim, or Shibudim, if you will call it, from that moment of time. Again, whatever the method of Kinyon is, I mean, again, we didn't cover the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel and other Rishonim that it's through Kinyon Sudar. Let's leave that out. I just want to get the overview of the sugi. But by some magical method, the lova from the time that he instructs the eidim to write the shtar, he was already makne shibudim to the malva. I mean, you may remember those who were here yesterday. We had a pili plon ramban. The ramban says that kinyan that the malva has in the nechosim and that shibud that the lova has to pay the chov would apply even if the Malva never even gave the money. Pili plim of a Rambam.
It's a Rashi. Doesn't Rashi say something?
Well, maybe it's Rashi. I don't know. Let me again, Rabosai, right now. Hold me off now. Again, just if you don't mind. Yeah, let's. You know, we'll read the Rashi if you can. But just, I'm going to be in deep trouble if I don't get the overview of the sugya. So then, Bli Neder, I'm not trying to, sweep Rashi under the rug. I just want to just give me 5 minutes, 5 minutes of your time, just to get the overview of the sugya, so we see at least the overview, at least, and then we can fill in some of the details. Oh. So the Gemara now has the following problem. The Mishnah tells us that according to Rabbi Meir, if there's achrayus in the shtar, then we cannot give the shtar back. So frekta Gemara mimana shach, I don't understand this Mishnah. What's the case? If the lova is mode, then what? That he owes the chov, so we're not in any way cheating the lova by giving the shtar back to the malva. Ella what? You're worried about cheating the lekuchos. Why? Because maybe the lova instructed the eidim to write the shtar with the date of today, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the money was not handed over to the lova until when? Until Tishrei. So the lekuchos are going to lose because they bought the shtar. They bought this karka from the lova during that period of time between Nisan and Tishrei, before the Matan Moos. So Gemara says, I don't understand. If this is a shtar hakna, if this shtar that we're looking at, that was found in the streets, has a kinyan for the shibudim in the shtar, so then the lova was meshabed himself from that moment and the date that's written in the shtar, and therefore the lekuchos are not being ripped off. They actually bought a karka that was Meshubedes. Well, He says the following. But maybe you'll tell me that we're talking about a shtar in our Mishnah, which is the lav hakna, right? That there was no kinyan mentioned in the shtar. So the Gemara says, I still have no problem returning the shtar to the malve. Why? Lekele mechesh. And here you'll take a look, it's about seven lines down from the top. He says, Da amrit ki leka malve bade lo kasvinon. So the Gemara says now that the Edom who are signed on the shtar, they have two choices. Either they sign on the shtar because the shtar is a shtar hakna, and if it's not going to be a shtar hakna, then they should require the presence of the malva before they write the shtar, so that they can testify to the matmos, meaning the following. We had a problem, if you remember, the Mishnah says in what? In Baba Basra, Kosvin Shtar Le, Lo Vafu Pishen Malva Imo. How could that be? The Gemara says you're going to be Tovel Lekucha Shalokidin. The answer is he was Meshabit Nafshe and he wrote a Shtar Akna. But that's the only reality in which the Edom are allowed to sign the Shtar. The Edom can't sign the Shtar unless the Lova was Meshabit is Nechasin. Otherwise, the Lekuchas will be Mafsin Shalokidin. In the absence of A shtar hakna to be makne shibudim, B the presence of the malve, so that the Edom could testify in the matmos, which clinches the malve's shibud in the karka, and the malve will be kona the shibudim with kesev. In the absence of both A and B, the Edom have no right to sign such a shtar. So obviously, if we find two Edom signed on a shtar, and there's no kinyan written in the shtar, then we have to assume that the malva was there, and that when the Edom signed the shtar, they did so in the presence of the malva, and the malva handed over the money. And the moment the malva handed over the money, which is the date recorded in the shtar, that's when the malva was kodesh shibudin. So why can't you return the shtar? Do you hear this, Rabosai? I'm beginning to understand the mechanics here of the sugya. And that gives me a great deal of pleasure because there's a lot of mathematics here in the sugya. And you know, I told you a million times, I'm not very good at mathematics. It all started in ninth grade. I don't want to mention his name, but I had a math teacher in high school that didn't teach math. Anyway, that's just my way of excusing my not knowing ki'ilu. I can blame it on my teacher so that really I have the intelligence to know math. So Mimarashav, says the Gemara, the Edom can't write a shtar and hand it over to the Malva by signing it and validating it if the Lekuchas are gonna get ripped off. So there's got to be a Shibud from the moment that they sign on the shtar. The date of the shtar is going to testify to that Shibud. Well, had it happened? Again, if the Lova is not Moda, then we're not going to give back the shtar. That's for sure. Elo what, the Lova is Moda. Because if the lov is not moda, even if the shtar has no achrayas, we can't give back the shtar because you're ripping off the lov. Once the lov is moda, we covered our bases as far as the lov is concerned. We have to give back the shtar to the malva. Elawad, the shtar is now going to give the malva the rights to collect from shibudim. Well, when will the shibudim chal? So the Edom have to guarantee when they sign the shtar that the shibudim are chal on that date that's written the shtar. And they have two options. Either they're going to write a kinyan in the shtar if the lova commissions them to do so. And if he doesn't, they're going to have to make sure that the malva is there. Now, wait a second. We're giving the Edom a lot of credit over here. We're assuming that the Edom, when they sign the shtar, they're Talmidei Chachomim, so to speak. So the Gemara says, you know what? We can't give back the shtar. You cannot assume that the Edom were such scholars that they would not sign the shtar based on the commissioning of the Lova, and that maybe the Malva was not there. Why? Omel Choravasi, Afal gav the shtari de lav hakna. There's no kinyan in the shtar. Again, if there was a kinyan in the shtar, then even Rabbi Meir would agree we could return the shtar, because we're not ripping off the Lova because he's moda that he owes the chol. We're not ripping off the Lekuchos because the date of the shtar testifies on the Hakna, if they wrote the Hakna in the shtar, or if they did a Kinyan Suda, or whatever it might be. Ella what? We're talking about a shtar that has no Hakna in it. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves the question, did the Edom actually see the Malva and the Matmos Afal gav the story de lav hakno ki leka malva baday lo kasvinon. Even though, as a general rule, we can assume that every time a malva pulls out a shtar to collect from the lova, and even if the shtar has no akno in it, he can collect from the lekuchos in event that the lova defaults on the loan. Why is that? Because we're going to assume that the eidim who signed on the shtar certainly had whom present? Who was present on both sides? The malva was present. But that's not our case in the Mishnah. Why? Because who's holding on to the shtar? I'm holding on to the shtar, not the malva. I'm not rich enough to be a malva, but at least I found the shtar. Is doch, says the Gemara, Masnis in our Mishnah came into Nofal, since the shtar fell. Israel lay, there's a raise on the shtar. Is therefore Chayshin and Dilma Ikri Vakosiv, we should be choshesh that maybe the Edom signed the shtar and there was no malva there. Which means the Edom are, you know, you can't tar and feather them because they meant well, but they should have known better. They should have really insisted on subpoenaing the malva to be there so that they could sign the shtar. But they went ahead and they signed the shtar, and the malva's not around. And if the malva's not around, who knows when the halva took place? Maybe it didn't take place for the next 6 months, and now you're going to give back the shtar to the malva?
All this is because of the family?
Because it fell.
Because it fell, I'm saying.
Right.
It was because the malva is clumsy, and now we're gonna back the, but we're coming to the malva's rescue here. We're saying that the shtar is not a shtar that was written with him then. We're assuming the eidim made a mistake just by virtue of the fact that they found a shtar.
But what do you mean we're coming to the salvation of the malva? I thought the adrav is
going to
the malva's going to lose 1,000.
Is he not getting it back?
Yeah, he can't collect it. Well, okay, maybe he could collect. He could collect from the lova. The lova doesn't have anything. He's penniless. And now he has no recourse, you know, no default to go to the lekuchos because there's no shtar in his hands. Without the shtar in his hands, he has nothing over the lekuchos. And why? Because we think that maybe the eidim signed the shtar without the matmos, without the malva being there. Well, why should you think so? So Yechiel says, okay, he dropped the shtar. Patch him, give him patch. He dropped the shtar. So this is what we discussed yesterday. Again, it's a long, long piece. It's called Tfisas Baal HaShtar. Every shtar is dependent upon Tfisas Baal HaShtar. There's no such thing as a shtar simply because two Edom are signed on a shtar. The shtar is meaningless. Now, watch what happens. The shtar goes from 0 to 100. There's no middle ground. It's an all or nothing enterprise. Either the shtar tells you nothing, or it tells you everything. What do I mean? If there's no tefisas baal shtar, I could read the shtar, I could hang it up on my ceiling. It's a beautiful shtar, but no one's holding on to that shtar. Question how it works with ksuba, by the way. That's not so posh. You know, they hang up the ksuba. But let's assume it's in a way that she has control of the ksuba. A lot of people hide this ksuba, and she has no clue where the ksuba is. That's not good. You know, she should know where the ksuba is. Mm-hmm. Now, when she goes to Aruba with her husband on a trip, I didn't say Asia, then, you know, maybe in that case she should take the ksuba along. I don't know. Yeah, it's Archim. But at least she knows where it's locked up. And under the chuppah, we give it to the mother, and she'll hold it, you know, on behalf of the daughter. That's called Tfisas Baal HaShtar. Without Tfisas Baal HaShtar, the shtar is worthless. It's a chaspa b'alma. Now we give the shtar over to the Baal HaShtar. Magic of magics. Miracle of miracles. Right? Fiddler on the roof. Now it goes from 0 to 100. Now the shtar will answer any question that you ask. You'll wonder, was the malva there at the time? The shtar will tell you the malva was there. You'll wonder whether the Edim were ksherim or not ksherim. The shtar, the tefisas baal shtar, tell the Edim are ksherim. The Rabbanim made a takana, by the way, called kiyum hashtaros. But on a doraisa level, Reish Lakish is very famous to say Edim ach sum al shtar nas kamishin echrei dusa bebezdin. We don't even need drisha v'chakiyum. That's how powerful the shtar is. A woman says, we know that she's been married for 20 years. She says, I got divorced. I want to marry someone else. Not a kohen. Where are your Edim? My Edim are quarantined somewhere in Asia. But I have the get. and the get has two eidim, and I'm holding on to the get. That's tfisus balashtar. Any question that you raise on the shtar will answer. It's like, again, that mashal I gave you from the restaurant. You know, you want to know, were they mafresh trumas and maisers? Were they careful about malicha? Did they not mix milchiks and fleishiks? Were all the kalim toivel, the chveis books? That you choose your hetsh of your choice. Let's say badatz, if you're a badatz man. And that te'udah tells you everything. Any question that you ask. Because we are such great scholars, and we were very careful, we had our mashgich out there, you can rely on the hefsh. So you go into a restaurant, and you feel absolutely, how do you say in English, ruyuk, calm. You feel absolutely calm. Why? Because of the tuda hefsh. So my father once went into a restaurant, and he asked the guy, the proprietor who owns the restaurant, he says, do you have a tuda hefsh? So the man points to the wall, and he says, that was my Zayda. That's a picture of a man with a long beard. So my father said to him, look, if you were up on the wall and your Zayda was down here, I would eat. But in any event, the guy wasn't too firm, you understand, and he didn't have a Tudat Hechsher. So that's a Shtar. Shtar is a Tudat Hechsher. It's amazing, you know, the more you learn about shtaris, it's like endless. You know, the shtar tells you everything. Again, that's all before the takon of kiyum shtaris. Then, you know, you got to get to kiyum shtaris. That's something else. So the Gemara is saying, now you found the shtar. If you found the shtar, even though the lov is an admission, you know, he admits that everything that's written in the shtar is emes, you know, kitzuroso. That's okay for the lova, but that's not okay for the shtar, because the shtar has to testify in shibudim, and that means that the eidim saw the malva give over the mos on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now we find the shtar, there's a race on the shtar, it doesn't have tefisus bal shtar, we're going to have to worry that maybe the eidim signed the shtar without the presence of whom? Of the malva. That's where we got up to yesterday. So Rabosai, at this point, we have a method of reconciling our Mishnah with the Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra. Let's go over it. The Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra says that the Malva is not even there. Our Mishnah says, how can you give a shtar to the Malva's hands when he's going to collect from the Lekuchos? So now we have to ask the general question. Well, every shtar you could ask me, how can he collect from the Lekuchos if the Malva wasn't even there? The answer is, it's got to be a shibud, the love was mishabid nafshe, and the eidim are signed on that shibud. But that's okay if the malv is holding on to the shtar, and there's no race on the shtar, and then the Mishnah in Bava Basra comes out full force. We believe that the eidim are signed on a shibud, and even if we don't find shtar yakna, but nevertheless the eidim were there with the malva, and the malva gave the mos. And that's the tfisus bal shtar, that's the rais hashtar, and nasa kibisha nechra edusa bebezdin, as if these two eidim were here in front of us, testifying that we saw the malva give the mos. But now the Mishnah says, we found the shtar in the street, we no longer have the right to assume that the eidim are testifying that the malva was with them, and now we have a problem with lekuchos, because the zman of the shtar might be 6 months before the malva got around to giving the money over to the lova. Again, if the shtar that we find is shtari hakna, then we have nothing to worry about, because then the eidim are signed on the fact that the lova was meshabed himself. Now, Yechiel, you mentioned the Rashi to me. I didn't get a chance to look in the Rashi. Which Rashi is it?
The very first Rashi.
The top Rashi. Shtari akno shemakne lo nechosev me'ayom bein yilve bein lo yilve yigba mehen li oso zman me'ayom. So what does he mean bein lo yilve? Just give me a second. Maybe that's the Ramban.
Well, Ramban asked the Rashi. He's apparently quoting Rashi, and I don't know what he read. Oh, he's the first line. The first line, the Perish Rashi.
So you mean the Ramban was billing himself on Rashi? I didn't get that here from the. From the note, he just quoted the Ramban. I don't even remember where the Ramban is here now. Oh yeah, here's the Ramban. Just 1 second. It's fine. There are two different Rashis here. Of course, there's a Rashi later on, Dira Maskel Abaye. Where's the Dira Maskel Abaye? There it is. I feel the shtar lav haknun v'inami osu tshidun v'hulo lav atishrei lo shalok yaduna d'ayv v'chassum v'yom chassosu zochen lo ashibud. Oh, you see this? There's a problem here. And this, I think, the Ramban's problem. There's a line in Rashi, it's about 10 lines down from the top, if you happen to have the Rashi. Afilu lo hilva hamos ad tishrei. And the Ramban wants to be medayik from that Rashi that the whole issue here is when did the when did he give the halva. But you're right, the Rashi on the top seems to say bein lo yilva, and that's who, that's Rav Asi. Yeah, that's Rav Asi. So why is maybe Rashi sees, you know, it's according to what? According to Rav Asi, that we're talking about Shtari Aknoa, then we don't care about the Milva. According to Abaye, Eidav Chassum Zochenlo, which we'll get to in just a second, then what they're doing is they're being Zoche on behalf of the Malva, even though the Mos are going to come 6 months later. That's what Rashi seems to say. So he writes here, Mashmi Loshen Rashi, Sha'edim Hachsum al Shtar Mo'ilim, Lemaisa Shenase Bizman Acher, meaning Zman Yoter Mu'uchar, right? Kiilu Nase Bizman Hakosu Bishtar. Omnom, he says here, Haramban, Dir Maskel Omar, Mevuar, Shafil Lotia Halva Klau, Chal Ashibud, Vagvia Kidin. Vagvia hi Kidin. Kaman the Xivas Ashtar Mesiroso, Machayev, Halovis Atzman Lefroa, Hareza Kamisha Kosev, Lechavero, this is what we discussed yesterday, Vishtar Reni Chayev Lechamon. A gift. I'm giving you a gift of a mon. Shemeshayev Vimon is Elam Rochelo Kibo Mona Michavero. There was no transfer of money, but he says, I'll give you a mon. And the Ramban equates every shtar milva as far as gvir from lekuchos and the validity of the shtar with a case where a man writes a shtar that I'm chayiv to you a mona, and the kinyan is full fledged kinyan. Eid of a chasum of zochenlo. We'll see how that works. But Yechiel's asking from the top Rashi on the top of the page. Let me just see by chance. I don't hold much.
You want to have the whole Ramban?
No, I want to look at this Biurei HaRashi. Once in a while, I hit payday, and he quotes like a Pnei Yoshua, something that notices a problem in Rashi. Let me just, I don't want to waste too much time on this. He says, Beinim Yilva, Beinim Lo Yilva. Yeah. So he actually does have a footnote here. Resh Pei Aleph. Let me just see if by chance in a million this helps us. Kosev HaRan. So he's now quoting a Ran to interpret this Rashi, that you're Rashi, if you're on top of the page. She'ein, ein kav, I'm afraid to read this because I'm just feeling good about this again. I'm always afraid if I read something that I don't know what he's talking about, I'm going to feel very bad about this again. Anyway, kosev Ran, she'ein kav on his Rashi, sitzorach lefai she'ein mishtabe beinim yilv beinim lo yilv she'af b'shtar she'einim shtar yakno yoyil t'nai zeh. Honestly, it's not that I'm upset, I just don't understand what the Ran is saying. The Ran, I'll read it one more time, but I just want to get back to Abaye here. This is before Abaye. He says, "Ain't come on this Rashi Rashi Mishtabed Beinim Yilve Beinim Lo Yilve." That's how we understood the Rashi. Shari Af Bishtoro She'enom Shtori Hakno Yoil Tnai Ze. I'd have to read this over and over again. Kevon She'osu Shtar Hakno Moil Kinyan Asudor. he's assuming the Rashi is operating with a kinyan sudar. The shabbos is in his mind because he was a shtar b'stoma af im lo hisnu. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm obviously missing some chunk of the sugya, but I don't know. So let's just see. We'll try to do the best we can. That's all. So Avaye now wants to offer another solution to the problem of how we understand the mechanics of shtaros. After all, you know, going to write a shtar and the malva is not around. So the first answer was Rav Asi. There's got to be a shtar haknor. There's some sort of separate shtar or something added to the shtar that indicates that we, the Edom signed below, testified to the fact that the lover was meshavid himself from the time of the shtar. Abai says, no, we don't have to go down that route. We can be machshir the shtar for a different reason. And again, all this is going to be in a case where there's tfisas bala shtar. Obviously, Rabbi Meir is not going to allow you to return the shtar to the malva if you found the shtar in the street, based on Abai's assumption here. So Abai's assumption, which is going to bridge the gap between the shtar and the shibudim on the shtar, because again, if kosvin shtar lelov af pishen malvima, where the shibudim on the shtar? And it's not written in the shtar. So Abaye Eidov v'chasumov zochin lo. So it means the following, that although it's true, as the Mishnah establishes at the end of Bava Basra, the Lova did not receive the Mos from the Malva, because the Edim were there and the Malva is nowhere to be found at this point. But nevertheless, the Edim are Zocha, the minute they sign the Shtar, on behalf of the Malva, in any Chov that's written in the Shtar. And if you ask me, how did the Malukuchos know about this? We're going to have to assume that there's a call, right? There's a foghorn, you know, there's some sort of announcement that's inherent in the shtar. And they hear about the shtar, and they have to know, says Abaye, before they buy this karka from the lover, that this real estate is leaned for the chov, because they have to know about the chov through the shtar. But the pella here of Abaye is to say that the Edom themselves now play a double role. They're not just testifying about the halva, but they're doing something way beyond that. And that is, they are clinching a kinyan of shibud on the karkos on behalf of the malva. And that's called Edov b'chasumav zochin lo. Now again, we have to ask another question here. How does this statement of Abaye, how does it relate to the famous statement, which we're going to get to a little later, called Achrayis Tos Sofer? Or there's one man who says Achrayis Lo Tos Sofer. But, you know, the question is whether the shibud has to be written in the shtar or not. You get the impression from Abaye that the sofer doesn't have to write, you know, the shibud or the Achrayis in the shtar, because the Edom, by the very fact that they attach their signatures to the shtar, they are testifying in effect. Because again, when Abai says Edim v'chasum of zochlo, we're not asking the Edim to do this. You know, this is not like, you know, before you sign a shtar, come and take a course in Abai's lecture, you know, lecture hall, and Abai's going to tell you to be zochlo on behalf of the malva. It seems like, according to Abai, this is built in to the Edus on the shtar, meaning once the Edom sign in the shtar, the ipso facto, through the shtar, they're testifying on the fact that they clinch the shibudim on the and the chiddush of Abaye against Rav Asi is afilu shtori de lav alfa. We're talking about a stam shtar. We're not talking about a shtar that has haknor written to it. In other words, you don't have to explicitly write, we, the undersigned, were makabel a kinyan on the karka of the lova on behalf of the malva. We don't need that whole extra piece in the shtar to testify that there was a haknor of shibud. But rather, every shtar, even without shtari haknor, is considered a shtar kinyan to create the shibud. And hence, it's irrelevant when the Matan Mos took place, because the Kinyan Shibud and the Karka is not a result of the Matan Mos, and the Malva is not being Kona his Karka, his rights to the Karka, the Lova, through Kesef. So the Kesef was not exchanged, but rather he's able to collect from the Lekuchas and to establish his Shibud through the Shtar itself, because Eidim v'chasum of Zochen lo, the Eidim themselves were Zoche in the Shibud and the Karka on behalf of the Malva. So therefore, every Shtar, says Abai, any Shtar Milva, with or without Hakna, there's no problem. You're not embezzling or cheating the Lekuchas. The Lekuchas have to know very well that is, if there's a shtar milva, then there's a shibud. How do they know about the shtar milva? That's because of kol. And they have to be forewarned that if they buy this karka from the lova, it could be a very temporary kind of kinyan, because the malva might come trumpsing in and confiscate the karka from the lokeach, and that's because eidav b'chasumav zochim. Now the Gemara wants to know, why didn't Abaye accept Rav Asi? What was bothering Rav Asi? You know, Abaye, you know, sometimes you have two Amoraim and then you have to rack your brains and figure out why the second Amora wasn't happy, if the second Amora offers another answer, an alternative answer. But here the Gemara itself addresses that question. And the Gemara says, Mishum de Kashale, what was bothering Abaye about Rav Asi? Again, Rav Asi says that our mission is talking about a shtar. She'eino shtar hakna, and the shtar was written without the malva being there. And if it's a shtar she'eino hakna, so we can't give it to the malva, we can't return it to the malva, because we're afraid that maybe this shtar will be used illegally against the lekuchos, because the shtar was written without a halva. So Abaye doesn't believe that's so. He doesn't believe that the shtar was written without a halva, without a matan mos, without the malva. Why? Came on the amrit b'shtari d'lav haknoki lesel malva by day lo kasvinon. We can instruct and teach the Eidim that you don't sign a shtar unless it's got a shtar kinyan on it, or unless the malva is there. We're going to give the Eidim two alternatives. There's no third alternative. Either A or B. Either A, you're writing it as a shtar akna because the lova is going to be makna to the shibudim, or B, you're going to be there when the malva gives over the mos to the lova, and through those mos, he's kona the karka and he's kona the shibudim, because, my friends, Mr. and Mrs. Adim, if you don't do this, then you're going to be mafsid the lekucho shaloki did. It's therefore leko lemechash di ikre v'kosuv, says Abaye. We're going to have to assume that one of two things happened. Just one second, let me just get the mathematics here. We're not afraid that the shtar was signed without the malva, because they know very well that they're not allowed to do so. They'd be overstepping their bounds. Is there, if Abaye holds that just a regular shtar can be written by the Eidim, and who's mandating, who's commissioning them to write the shtar? The Lova is commissioning them. But where's the Malva? I mean, the Mishnah says that the Malva is not there. So the Mishnah must be telling us that the Eidim could sign on the shtar even in the absence of the Malva. And that, how can the Mishnah say such a thing? Because again, according to Rav Asi, the Mishnah is saying such a thing because the Mishnah knows that there's going to be one of two options. Either the Malva is going to be there, which again the Mishnah says the Malva is not there, so it's going to have to be a Shtari Hakna. But that's not what the Mishnah says. And the whole institution of Shtari Hakna is because we're afraid the Eidim might have signed the Shtar without the presence of the Malva. Why don't you just tell the Eidim not, just let out a cruise, you know, that Eidim should not sign a Shtar without the Malva. And you get the opposite impression from the Mishnah in Moav Basra. So therefore, Abaye comes to the conclusion that we're going to read the Mishnah Kipshuta. There's no Shtari Hakna. The Malva is not there. And then you're going to ask me the question, but what about the Lekucha Shalokidin? Therefore, Abaye says that in any Shtar, we're always going to assume that Eidav Bechasumav Zochin Lo. Let me just read this once more. Gam b'stam shtaros kosim l'afal pishen amal v'ima. That's good. When we came to Mishnah, saying of b'stam shtaros, ein lach zir l'mal v'zashtam nesheish l'chus l'kosim l'mus l'olava. But if not for the fact that he dropped the shtar, then Enofinami, the Eidim, would be allowed to do such a thing. Just one second. Wait a minute, I lost the mathematics. One second. So wait a minute, are the Eidim allowed to write the shtar without the malveh? Just one second. Our Mishnah is talking about what? Stam shtaros. Right. Oh yeah. So Abaye is disagreeing with Ravasi. Ravasi is saying that the Eidim could not possibly sign the shtar unless the malveh is there. Because otherwise you're going to cheat the lekuchos in the absence of the malva, because there's no matan mos, and there's no what? There's no akana on the shtar. So if there's no akana on the shtar, this is bad news. How are you going to allow the shtar to operate? Because there's a good chance that the malva is nowhere to be seen. So therefore the Ravasi is going to say, well, that's the problem. The problem is that maybe the Eidim will sign without the... So Abai says, wait a minute, if you're telling me that the Eidim did not have a right to sign the shtar without the malva, then we have every right to assume that the malva was there. So why are you hesitating to return the shtar? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, according to Abai's logic is that according to Rav Asi's premises, we could solve the problem, says Abaye, because we could let the Eidim know that they have to insist on the presence of the malva. And yet, in order to avoid the possibility that the Eidim will sign in the absence of the malva, we're not going to return the shtar unless it's a shtar aknah. And the Mishnah, therefore, according to Rav Asi, that allows the shtar to be written without the malva there, there's no matmos. It must be in a case of shtari hakna, and Abai is not able to tolerate that. He's not able to tolerate that in the absence of hakna, we should be choshesh that the edim wrote and signed the shtar without the malva being there and seeing the matmos. Because if that's what you're required to do, and you're only solving that issue of the lekuchos by writing a shtar knah, then if it's not a shtar knah, let's rely on the Eidim and mandate them. The directive to the Eidim will be they should not sign the shtar without the malva being there to see the matmos. Oh, Sabai says, let's go back to the pshat. The simple pshat, straightforward in the Mishnah in Bava Basra, is that the Eidim do not have to see the malva. And they don't have to see the matmos. You're going to rip off the lekuchos? The answer is Eidim b'chasum of zochin lo. The mission is predicated on that mechanics, on that premise, that the Eidim are going to be zochan the shibud on behalf of the malva, even before the matmos. That's what we got up to so far in the sugya. All this is meant to lead us to a discussion, about Gitei Noshim v'Shechurei Avadim and other kinds of shtaros. And we have another Mishnah, which is coming up around the bend, here in Bava Metzia. And that Mishnah seems to assume that we have to worry about the lekuchos. So that's going to be our issue for tomorrow. I'll just read the Gemara very, very superficially, just as our schol of the next sugya. The Gemara asks about Abai's principle of mechanics of Eidim v'chasum zochin lo, that the shibud is chal at the time of the chasima, elohad esnan motzagite noshim. Now, if you find a get isha, then the significance of that get is twofold. Number one, in terms of davar shebe'erva, we need two Eidim to testify that she's megureshes, and that she'll get with the get. Number two, the get is also going to serve as a shtarai for her collection of the ksuba, v'shechurei avadim. So you found the shtar shechurei of an eved kanani. Then something called a daitaki that has to do with the shkimira. Then you have a shtar matana, which is a shtar of a bori.
Right.
And then you have shovrim. Those are receipt notes, right? I've already paid you up. Now, he found one of these various kinds of shtarim that are listed here in the Mishnah. What does he do with them? Should he give them back? Should he return the shtar to the person who commissioned the writing of the shtar? So in the case of the shofar, so you're going to give the shtar back to the malva. Just one second. Back to the malva, right? Because the malva tells the eidim, write me a shtar, which I'm going to use in event that the lova, or at the moment the lova pays back the shtar. Or should we, instead of returning the shofar to the malva, let's return it to the lova, because he dropped the shtar, the shofar, and he wants to use that as proof positive that he paid back the chov. So to whom to return it? So the Mishnah says, Areza lo yachzir. Basically, it's like Yehimunach ad shiyov elyo kind of thing. So why don't we return the shtar to the person, to one of these two people? He says, we're afraid, Shema ksuvim hayu, v'nimach aleim shlo litne. So the person who commissioned the writing of the shtar had a change of heart, and he never actually delivered the shtar. Again, it's kind of another proof to this concept of tfisas balashtar, that how does the malva prove that what's written in the chov if the shtar was written by the eidim on behalf of the lova? The answer is, we must assume that the lova handed over the shtar to the malva when he got the mos. How do we know he handed it over? Maybe the malva snuck into the house of the lova and he stole the shtar out of the drawer. Or maybe he found it on the street. The answer is because the malva has tfisas bala shtar. But in this case, where the malva is lacking tfisas bala shtar, we don't know if the shtar was ever handed over to the malva, and therefore it was nimlach aleihem shalo lit. And this apparently is going to undermine the sheet of Abaye in the Gemara's Habamina, that Eidav v'chasum of Zachilo. What do you mean? So the lova decided not to take the loan, but it doesn't matter. He was Meshabe Nafshe. And the Ramban, maybe even Rashi, would hold that even if there never was Alva, he still has to pay up because Eidav v'chasum of Zachilo. So why are we worried about returning the shtar to the Malva? And the Lechukas won't lose anything either, because the Shiva was chal from the time that's written in the Shtar. And I think, again, I'm hoping that the Gemara's answer, I'm going to try to fit it into the Gemara, is Tfisas Bala Shtar. That there's no, you know, this case is where he found the Shtar. And if he found the Shtar, we have to worry about every possibility. Maybe the Lova never actually handed over the Shtar to the Malva. Okay, then? So that's what we have for today. And I appreciate that you bear with me, because again, you know, when you start a new sugya like this that's so complicated, and you know, I was trying to concentrate in Miskavla Dach today when I was waiting for my turn there, you know, they call you numbers, so it wasn't the most conducive place to